It's a tragedy, but it happens sometimes at those decisive moral moments in our lives. Those moments of decisive choice. When we were just on the point of resolving to do something great, although it would involve suffering, although it would involve sacrifice. It happens just at those moments when we were on point of resolving to stand up to fight against evil. Just at those moments, it happens sometimes that fear creeps its way into our heart, and our knees that were strong begin to buckle, and our hearts that were beating quickly begin to waver, and all too often fear drives us away from the good that the Lord was calling us to do. It comes on us sometimes in different ways, sometimes suddenly and with fury, like it came on St. Peter. He had started out to follow the Lord down the road to his passion, to his suffering and death, but standing there in that courtyard around that fire and hearing the question, "Weren't you one of those with Jesus of Nazareth?" And seeing perhaps the moonlight glinting on the soldier's spear and the flickering of the torches and imagining what might happen to him if he were considered to be associated with the condemned man. He said, "I never knew him." And fear struck at his heart in that moment and turned him aside from the path of virtue. Sometimes it happens suddenly like that, but sometimes it happens in another way, slowly, over the long haul by a weary attrition, like it happened to St. Augustine. As he wandered from religion to religion, from philosophy to philosophy, until he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and something in him wanted to repent and believe. But he said he heard his sins talking behind him, his sins whispering in his ear, "Could you ever really be happy without us? Could you ever really be happy if you were to resolve never to return to lust? Would God really be enough for you?" And fear got the better of him, so that for fear that God couldn't satisfy his heart, fear that he wouldn't be able to do it, fear one way or another, caused an all too long delay before that holy man was converted and became a great saint. Fear gets the better of us in our lives, too. The story that we heard from the gospel today concerns a man who had reason enough to be afraid. He was, after all, a blind beggar, and it's hard to imagine many positions in this life more prone to danger, many people in this life with more reason to fear. He had not the support of a financial situation in the world. He had no security of shelter or food, no defense from the elements or from the violence of man. And on top of all that, he wasn't even able to see danger coming. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, we are told, was sitting by the roadside one day when Jesus of Nazareth came along, followed by a sizable crowd. At that point, we might expect to read something like, "So Bartimaeus was afraid and got up and ran off in order to stay out of trouble." But it's there that the story begins to take a fascinating turn. Although Bartimaeus is blind, he can see who Jesus is, and the faith that was glimmering in his heart animated a hope which pushed him forward despite the crowd. Although he was a beggar, although he is habitually asking for the money on which his life depends, on this occasion, he has resolved to ask for something far more precious than a little bit of food or money. And so, in boldness, he approaches the Lord. He calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And at that point, we're told that the crowd begins to react. Some rebuke him. Some tell him to keep silent. Perhaps he was threatened or ridiculed. Perhaps he was subjected to scorn. But in boldness, we are told that he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And presently, that boldness, that courage, was rewarded. For as Bartimaeus was calling out to Jesus, Jesus, presently, began calling out to him. And through the crowd, through the ridicule, through the threats and the obstacles, Bartimaeus made his way to Jesus Christ, who restored his sight and gave him something even more precious than the light of this world. He poured into his soul the grace of God that is a sharing in the divine life. And from that day, we are told, Bartimaeus began to follow Jesus Christ. The story of Bartimaeus's boldness and of the fact that he later found his sight is a teaching for us also. For like Bartimaeus, we too have every need of courage and boldness if we are to live the Christian life. This morning, I'd like to examine for just a moment two areas of our lives in which we very much have need of Christian boldness. That first area is when we're faced with difficulties, with financial problems, with family problems, with sickness, with suffering, even with death. Courage is called for if we are to live the Christian life in those circumstances well. And the second area that I'd like to explore this morning has to do with the fear that is perhaps, in fact, far more profound. The fear not of adversity that comes from without, but of our own sinfulness in our own weakness. Here, too, every Christian has need of courage. Bartimaeus was blind and he was poor. He was beset, in other words, with physical difficulties, and nevertheless, in faith and hope, he reached out to Jesus, for he knew that Jesus could heal him. This story and so many other stories like it throughout the pages of the gospel impress upon us the fact that God has the power to deliver us from every evil. And from faith in that power, there springs an eternal and everlasting hope. His touch drove away sickness. His word chased away the devil. There was healing in his voice and power in his hands. And Bartimaeus and so many others knew the healing power of Jesus Christ. And since then, he has cured many who have been sick. And since then, he has delivered armies that have been in peril. And since then, he has worked countless wonders for his people. And faith in the omnipotence, the power of God, gives us a deep and abiding hope in the face of every difficulty, which we know is not stronger than our Savior Jesus Christ. That ought to raise up our hope. But if we thought that the message of stories like this in the gospel was that we have only to have faith, only to ask, and then Jesus will deliver us from every difficulty, if we thought that, we would have profoundly misunderstood the message of the gospel. This story, the story of a miraculous healing, is situated right in between two others. In the one that comes before, Jesus predicts his own coming betrayal, his passion, his suffering, and his death. And then when his disciples are dazzled for a moment by a superficial hope for glory, he solemnly warns them that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The story that immediately follows this passage in St. Mark's Gospel is the beginning of the tale of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, of his Last Supper, his betrayal, his suffering, and his death. If we thought that Jesus would deliver us from every difficulty, then we have not understood the message of the gospel. For he does not always protect us from the reach of evil, as he did not always protect himself. And yet, although he does not always save us from suffering, he is always with us. This is part of the profound message of the gospel, that our God who dwells in heaven in unapproachable light, has come to this world to dwell with us. Not only did he dwell with us, but he entered into the depths of human misery, of human suffering. He knew what it was to be hungry and thirsty. He knew what it was to be homeless. He knew what it was to be misunderstood and falsely accused and betrayed by a friend. He knew the depths of physical pain, knew what it was to suffer, and at last, to die. And because of that, because he entered into the depths of our storm, we know that we are not alone. Our God has suffered for us. He has suffered with us. The eternal God has wept human tears. He has bled through human veins. And in our deepest misery, we are not alone. He has not only modeled for us deliverance, which is a cause for hope. He has also modeled for us courage in the face of suffering, which is the strength of love. And if it happens sometime that we have to suffer, we know that he is with us to strengthen us, to give us the victory, even in the midst of darkness. But there is a second area in our lives that calls for courage, and the fear here is far more profound. We know that sometimes it can strengthen us to face suffering when our own conscience is clear, when we know that we're doing the right thing and that we're prepared to do it, come what may. But all too often, our conscience is not clear. All too often, we know that we have betrayed the God who loved us. All too often, our mind runs back to 1,000 times in the past when we have tried to resist sin and temptation and failed. And the devil comes and he whispers in our ear, "You're too weak. It's impossible. You can't live the life of the gospel. Just give up. Just despair." And it is in those moments, too, when we have profoundest need for courage. The solution to that despair is not to deny the reality of our own sinfulness, of our own weakness and feebleness. The solution to that despair is to trust, rather, in the strength of Jesus Christ. For he has power not only to heal physical sicknesses, but to heal spiritual ones. He has power to transform sinners into saints. And it's so very important that we trust his ability to do that and that we ask him. You notice that detail in the story in the gospel. Bartimaeus approaches Jesus. He's won through the crowd. And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" We might think it was an obvious question, an obvious answer. He's a blind beggar. He wants to see. But Jesus asks him not because he doesn't know. He asks him because he wants Bartimaeus to ask. He wants him to ask because he wants him to desire it. He wants him to reach out in faith and hope for the healing that Christ has the power to bring. So it is with us, even in the midst of spiritual sickness, even in the midst of spiritual blindness. He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask for healing because he wants us to desire it. He wants that desire to become burning and intense. He wants that desire to become ready to suffer and to make sacrifices, to be spiritually healed, whatever it might cost us, so that we might come on the other side of that ordeal of repentance, to a freedom, to a life, to a holiness that before we could not imagine. The story of Bartimaeus is a story that ought to encourage us to hope. And if we are tempted sometimes, looking at the difficulties that beset us and feeling our own weakness, to despair, then we have need, my brothers and sisters, of fixing our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, Bartimaeus was blind, and the Lord gave him his sight. And Lazarus was dead, and the Lord restored to him his life. And St. Paul was wrapped in sin and persecuting the very church of God. And the grace of God reached down into his soul and turned him around and lit within his heart the fire of the divine love. Before now, countless sinners have been transformed by the grace of God into saints. Countless cowards have been strengthened by the grace of God to bear witness to Jesus Christ with their lives and their blood. Countless prisoners of sin and vice and addiction have been set free. He did all these things once, and he does them still. And so, my brothers and sisters, the words that Bartimaeus heard in the gospel, we might as well take as addressed also to us. Take courage. Arise. He is calling you.